And friends, we are heading for Knot Shrine, and let's welcome Father Richard Gibbons, who is the parish priest and rector of Our Lady of Knot Shrine in County Mayo in Ireland. Father Richard, you're very welcome.
Thank you, Adrian. Thank you very much indeed.
Before we get to the papal visit, since we are broadcasting worldwide, maybe you'd fill us in a little bit on the history of Knock and Knock Shrine.
Sure. Very simply, on the 21st of August 1879, on a wet Thursday evening at 8 o'clock, a light was seen from the gable end of the parish church. Now, you have to remember 1879, a very dark period of history with land war and all of that, people being evicted from their homes, etc. Knock itself was really basically in the middle of nowhere with nothing around it except the parish church and a number of individual, very small dwellings. But the local people saw a light at the, from various different points of the parish, a light at the gable end of the parish church, and just came to investigate. And when they came close, they saw images. They saw life-size and real images moving in front of them, which consisted of Our Lady, St. Joseph, St. John the Evangelist, a lamb, a cross, an altar, and around what appeared to be, to them, to be angels hovering. So it was quite a dramatic and intricate scene, and so word spread, and various different people came from various different parts of the village and the parish to see this phenomenon. It lasted about 2 hours. People could literally go up and see, but they couldn't touch because there was nothing there to touch. Their hands went through the apparition itself, but the ground and the wall were dry when they went to investigate. As I said, it lasted 2 hours, and no message was given like in Lourdes or Fatima. It was a silent apparition. There were 15 official witnesses to the apparition that gave their testimony afterwards, in the months afterwards. So the it was very, very, I suppose, well seen by various different people in the village. So after a commission of inquiry, their testimony was found to be trustworthy and satisfactory. And then it led to be recognised by the Archbishop of Tuam, John McHale, at the time. And subsequently, with people coming and visiting, it grew in numbers and in reputation, especially in terms of healing. And then in 1936, a second commission of inquiry was held with the three remaining witnesses that were still alive, one in New York, John Curry, and two at home here in Ireland. So their testimony corroborated what they said before, and then the shrine then grew over the years until the first papal visit in 1979 by John Paul II, St. John Paul II. So that gives massive international recognition and official church recognition to the shrine.
Let me ask you, Father Gibbons, about the papal visit and the world meeting of families, which is taking place in Ireland, and I believe that's from the 21st to the 26th. Can you bring us back to the meaning of and the reason for the world meeting of families, and what's going to happen throughout Ireland prior to the visit of the Holy Father?
Sure. The World Meeting of Families takes place every 3 years. So the last time it took place was in 2015 in Philadelphia. And it's simply a recognition by the Church of the importance of family life. So various different issues are discussed at different workshops, and a whole wide range of discussions take place on what constitutes family life, what's important, what the Church can do to help and support family life, how we nowadays come to understand different various different types of family. It's not just the one that we epitomize in terms of mother and father and two, three or four children. It's quite varied and complex and different. So It's a way of the church engaging with that reality on the ground. So, as I say, it happened 3 years ago in Philadelphia, and Pope Francis himself personally chose Dublin for its celebration this year in August. He chose that himself specifically. And so what happens in the course of a number of days, like you said, from the 21st of August to the 26th of August, a whole series of workshops and liturgies and all of that will take place in Dublin, and then Pope Francis will arrive then on Saturday morning, and he will have a number of engagements in Dublin with a festival vigil that evening in Croke Park in Dublin. And on Sunday then he will travel to Knock here in the morning for a very quick visit, then back to Dublin again for Mass in Phoenix Park at 3 o'clock. So it's a celebration of family life. A lot of work has been done prior to the celebration itself, different initiatives in different parishes and different dioceses. So, and that's ongoing up until the festival itself.
Now, again, we know that the focus will be Dublin and indeed Knock Shrine, the Holy Father visiting Ireland for a total of 36 hours. A lot has to be packed into it. Can you just tell us a little bit about the diocese, the varied dioceses throughout the country in the lead-up? And, in fact, lest we think that it all has to do with liturgy and prayer, there is a family atmosphere. There will be music. There will be a celebration of a family. Kids will be very much involved during that week. And I am sure that with respect to the visit of His Holiness Pope Francis, that a lot will be happening throughout Ireland in terms of setting the scene for the world meeting of families.
Well, in the various different dioceses, I suppose, in terms of the lead-up, we don't have too much information about that. Every diocese kind of does its own thing, if you like. So here in Tuam, where we're located, a family day will be celebrated in Ballinrobe Racecourse in a couple of weeks' time. And then in the immediate lead-up, there will be probably different focus points in terms of families and preparing them for Dublin. Much of the kind of acknowledgement of families has been done already in a lot of parishes and different dioceses. But really it will be focused on Dublin. It'll be getting people to Dublin to celebrate it from the 21st to the 26th. That's what the focus will be on now. Filling buses, getting people there, and focusing on the celebration itself. It's down to that now. So really what is here in Knock, as part of our novena, in the immediate lead-up, we will have a family day as part of our novena. So that will involve, as you say yourself, choirs and children and various different celebrations and focus on family life and fun and games and all of that kind of thing. It's kind of, to build up that sense of family solidarity and also fun. You can't forget the fun, Adrian.
Yeah.
That's very important. It's important to have a laugh and to enjoy it and to kind of focus on that. Prayer is great and so is fun. So it's a combination of both things. So that's really basically it. The eyes of the country will be turned, of course, to the papal visit. Really, that's kind of the corner. That's what takes everybody's imagination. And what that will mean. And of course, there'll be a whole raft of different commentaries in terms of how different it was from 1979, which we know is a hugely different country from 1979. There'll be all of that kind of engagement as well. And of course, we'll be preparing ourselves here for the visit.
Yes, you mentioned Tuam there, and Knock is in the diocese of Tuam. And I'm sure that Bishop Neary is going to be busy between now and then. The papal visit itself, however brief, is very significant. But before we get to that part, can you tell us with you know, about how the Basilica of Our Lady of Knock, which has undergone multi-million dollar euro upgrade, many would say you'd hardly recognize it from what it did look like. But give us a little picture of that.
Sure. Well, a number of years ago, just after I took over here as parish priest and rector, we desperately needed to focus in terms of where the shrine was going, what we were supposed to do. So, very briefly, we put together what we call Witness to Hope, which was a dramatic renewal of the shrine itself, and how we can be more effective in today's world, how we can reach out to more people and be more relevant for pilgrims in terms of their needs and their cares and worries and all the rest. So part of that was the refurbishment of the Basilica. The Basilica was built in 1973, finished in 1976, and it was basically, it's a solid concrete building. It's a bunker, really. And there wasn't really anything done for the aesthetic to a great degree in it. There were concrete floors, very old seats, and but it was fantastic for its time. But over the years, over the 40 years that it was in existence, it grew tired and jaded and well-worn. And so it needed to be upgraded, and we incorporated that in terms of our, along with our renewal programs, and also our promotion of the shrine at home and abroad, which led to the first diocesan pilgrimage from New York into Knock Airport, which then completely the basilica. It cost $11.4 million to do that. The entire project was $14 million, including the other aspects, and it was just completely top to bottom refurbished with proper heating system, flooring, all the rest of it. It is quite dramatic, actually, and we incorporated one of the largest single pieces of mosaic on a flat surface in Europe into the basilica as well. It was made in Italy and transported across here. So it represents the apparition at the gable end. It's a magnificent piece. So if people want to see it, they can get it online on our website, and they can tune in indeed live on our webcam to get an idea. And if you wanted old pictures from the basilica, you can get those on our website as well, just kind of before and after kind of thing. So that turned out to be tremendously successful. The program came to an end at the end of last year, when we said it would end at the end of 2017. And then we moved into what our current project, which was in the hope of preparation for a papal visit. So we had to preempt that, even though we weren't sure whether Pope Francis would come here. We had to refurbish our old church and the apparition chapel itself and upgrade all of our IT here at the shrine. So that's what we're currently at the moment. We have that nearly complete, and that in and of itself is another $6 million. So we were able to fundraise for the 14, and now we are beginning to fundraise for this, because we have to have it's like preparing as in olden times, Adrian, preparing the house for the stations, making sure that everything is ready for the visitors. So that's the way we looked at it in terms of upgrading everything. So we've just begun to fundraise for it, and hopefully that will be successful too. Anyone that wants to help out in that regard, more than welcome to do so. So it's kind of all go here at the moment, and we're constantly looking at that, at making Knock as relevant for the 21st century and for the modern pilgrim as we possibly can.
I just had a flashback, and I'm sure many of our listeners remember Knock in the 50s, where the infrastructure, the roads from Kelchimar and many of the other areas, indeed were fairly rugged, but yet the pilgrimage is and the pilgrims going to Knock has been fairly constant, and it didn't start in 1979, the centenary year of the apparition. But that brings us pretty much to the event itself at NOC. And
yes.
How far ahead are you with respect to the numbers of people access to NOC? Maybe you start by telling us, and of course the major prime question is this first come first served? Is this a ticketed event?
Sure.
And when do you think you will be able to roll out a plan and a procedure for those who might want to be either in the vicinity of NOC or preferably on the NOC grounds for the paper visit?
Sure. Up until we got official confirmation, which is about maybe 3 weeks ago now, or two weeks ago, at this stage, we couldn't really do an awful lot because we couldn't give the game away, as it were. So as soon as we got confirmation that it was definitely going to happen, we did have a number of preliminary meetings with people, but we got the gears into action. So we're liaising and cooperating with the state as well, because this is important to the country, and the state are providing security and all of that. So we liaise with the Gardaí, with the police force, with the army, with the OPW, which is the state mechanism in terms of looking after events like this, almost state events, the Taoiseach's office, and et cetera, et cetera. And then we have to subdivide in terms of our own organization here at the Shrine in terms of liturgy, who takes care of what, when and where. So we're in the process of that. And indeed, today, just after I finish with you, Adrian, I'm running straight into another meeting in terms of organization. So things will be put, people will get more information over the next couple of weeks. So they just need to keep an eye on our website and also on the World Meeting of Families website in Dublin. That will keep everybody up to date in terms of what's going on. It will be a ticketed event. It'll be unlike 1979 that way. We're only allowed to have about 45,000 people. That has to do with health and safety regulations and a whole raft of different regulations that weren't there in 1979 as well. So we're allowed 45,000 onto the shrine grounds itself for the visit, and it will be ticketed, so it will more than likely, to keep everything simple, it will be first come, first served. A priority will be given to parish, of course, because there is a parish here. I'm the parish priest, and the people of the parish, it's important for them as well, and they need to be looked after. So really, that's the only real priority, and after that, then, it will become first come, first served. The Pope will then, when he comes from the airport, he will land at 9:20 on Sunday morning, on the 26th. He will come in cavalcade down the N17, which will be closed off to the shrine. He will transfer into a Pope mobile at the back of the Basilica. And then all of the 45,000 people that will be located at various different points around the shrine grounds will get to see him, because we have a route mapped out for that, and it's easily accessible. So everybody will get to see him. And then he will arrive at the Apparition Chapel, proceed inside for about maybe 10 minutes of private prayer, then come outside to a staging area where he will speak and then join in with the people in the recitation of the Angelus. After that, then, he will depart the shrine at about 10 to 11, 11 o'clock or so. Go back by cavalcade to the airport, NOC Airport, and then jet back to Dublin with Aer Lingus. So Aer Lingus is the flight down as well. So it's a wonderful connection, actually. James Horne, I'd say, is singing a song, dancing a jig, and is very, very happy looking down, Adrian, to know that the airport itself is linked in with the shrine in this magnificent way and this uniquely historic way. And that's why he built it. I'd say he's looking down in benediction on everything.
Yes.
So that's the basic program. And like I say, if people are listening in, please do keep an eye on our website and keep an eye on the World Meeting of Family website. The tickets hopefully will be available from at the in the early part of July. We're looking at the 25th of June, in fact, onwards, but we just have to, a number of meetings have to take place from there to then. Information will be given on traffic, on how to access the shrine and all of that. All of these little things have to be worked out yet, Adrian, because really we're playing catch-up now since the announcement.
You know, you mentioned, indeed, somebody who historically, not only for Knock, but for the west of Ireland, and that Monsignor Horn, who came from Partrey, not far from your own neck of the woods in Lewisburg. But his vision was to for access primarily for not for for the shrine was to build an airport, and you're far too young to even remember that. So I.
I'm not that young, I can tell you. But, I'm not that young at all.
I can tell you in at another time, and I'm sure you've heard the story. But he was an amazing character himself, and somebody who was ridiculed, and somebody, you know, who never gave up in terms of. And did his devotion to Our Lady, his devotion to Knock, to the shrine. Indeed, as a dreamer, nobody could imagine that Monsignor Horn would, in fact, succeed in getting an airport, Ireland West Airport, more commonly known as Knock Airport. A tremendous accomplishment from a man who just had a dream beyond dreams and made it happen.
Yes, absolutely. And I never knew the man myself now, never met him. But, of course, we're steeped in his legend here at the Shrine and in Knock in the West of Ireland, indeed. So we're very well aware then of how poignant and historic this is in terms of the fact that His Holiness is coming through an airport built by a cleric, by a priest. In fact, I'd say it's one of the only one in the world that has happened with. I know there are great missionaries in Africa, I think, that set up airstrips and all of that kind of thing too for missionary activity. But this is something else altogether. I don't think it'll be lost on His Holiness either.
As a point of personal privilege, I would like to mention, of course, that down the road in my own parish, Father Pat Payton, the Rosary Crusader, you know, who had addressed 26 million people around the globe. Pope Francis seems to have, you know, a soft spot and is advancing the beatification and the sainthood of Father Pat Payton himself. Mm-hmm. And I mentioned that only because, you know, he was born and raised in Etty Mass, but had tremendous devotion to Our Lady, and indeed his own pilgrimages to leading his pilgrimages to Knock was indeed something very significant. I want to ask you, Father Richard, about the website. You've made reference to the website, to
sure.
Your website.
Yes.
Can you give us that?
It's simply knockshrine.ie.
Okay.
Knockshrine.ie. All you need to do is Google Knockshrine and you're straight into it.
Knockshrine.ie. And, of course,
yeah.
We will be, from today onward, we will link that to your website to our own at Irish.
Oh, that's very good. That's great. Yeah, that's very good. Thanks, Adrian, because that will help with getting the information out about it.
I have 1,000 questions, but I'm sure wherever you go, there are 2,000 questions. I am personally very grateful to you for joining us and taking time out today. To what will be a world event, and indeed some 40 years later, a papal visit. Only the second papal visit to Ireland, right, Father?
That's right. That's correct. That's absolutely right. Nearly 40 years. Yeah, 39 years.
Congratulations to you personally. And, of course, you'll be meeting Pope Francis, not for the first time, because you've already met him in Rome. And I think not only for those of us from Mayo, but I think for those living in Ireland, this is going to be a great occasion. And the naysayers who say that there are going to be, you know, that the Pope will, in fact, not get a warm reception, let's redefine that to the point where, yes, he will. The numbers will not be as great as in the last visit. But I would say to be among the 45,000 who will attend Knock Shrine on that day, Sunday the 26th of August, it will be indeed a lifetime experience, and we want to wish you loads of luck, and hopefully between now and then we will get updates. Again, the website is knockshrine.ie, that's knockshrine.ie. Father Richard Gibbons, live from Knock Shrine in County Mayo. Thank you very much for spending the time with
us. Thank you, Adrian. Thank you very much indeed, and thanks to Anya and all of you there, and the great support that you give us. It's really much appreciated. Thank you very much, and to all your listeners as well, too. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. God bless. All right. Friends, live from Knock, Father Richard Gibbons, PP Rector of Knock Parish and Knock Shrine.